Hey friends, welcome to my daily update video. I'm just having a great day. I've been recording a course here in my church on the Spirit-filled life. Hope to release that next week. And just want to share something with you really quick. Excuse me, that I was thinking today, and I want to read you a news article as well. But let me do a few quick housekeeping things. If you're on my YouTube channel, when I hit the subscribe button down there, check out the links below, including my weekly email newsletter. To find out more about our churches here in New England, we have three churches just progressing with the things of God. Why not join us this coming Sunday in the New England's Center of Revival, Sturbridge Worship Center, and New England Fellowship at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Details below. Boom. let me mention again, I'm going to be in the UK ministry next week in London, Northwest, kind of Wales, Preston, and in Wales. And in Wales as well. So if you're interested, check out my website for details about those. Let me share something with you. I read a really interesting article today. This is literally out on Reuters. This is not a Christian site. And this is hot off the press from Israel. As some of you know, Bibi Netanyahu's just been re-elected and has, you know, formed a new government. And as they do in Israel, they have PR, proportional representation, which means no party usually gets an outright majority. Usually the largest parties get something like 20-25%, and they have to form alliances. And a lot of people are criticizing Netanyahu's government, saying it's too right-wing. And there's an article here in Reuters. It says, Israel's next finance minister brings religion to the front of economic strategy. And I'm just going to read, it won't be long, read a few verses, few lines here from the Reuters website. It says, December 8th, Israel's incoming finance minister has said his economic strategy will be infused with religious beliefs laid out in the Torah, predicting that this will help the country prosper. Smotrich, head of the far right, they always call things far right. You never hear them talking about far left. The far right religious Zionist party said that as finance minister, he would delve deep into the inner workings of the economy. However, he said, taking a step back, he said the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, taught that obeying God brings prosperity. And, you know, I am a prosperity preacher. And the reason, you know, I get people mad when I say that. The reason I'm a prosperity preacher is I have a Bible and I believe it. And track with me for a second there. But, you know, God gave Israel, national Israel, many tasks, many callings. But they really came down to three things. There were three things God commissioned Israel to do. You know, Israel, both historically and to this present day, are not a perfect people. There are chosen people. There is a difference. I remember once hearing when Pope John Paul II visited Israel, and he said to, I think it was Ariel Sharon, the prime minister at the time, he said, the Jewish people need to remember that Jerusalem is a holy city to three great religions. And Ariel Sharon kind of nodded, and he said, but the people of the world need to realize that Jerusalem is a chosen city to only one religion. And God chose Israel, not because they were so talented, good looking. He chose them because that's his choice. And God gave Israel these three commissions that really we as believers have been kind of grafted into and grandfathered, and we've inherited, not replaced, but inherited these same three calls. Call number one was God gave Israel the task, the mission of carrying his word in the earth. And really, for thousands of years, it was only the nation of Israel on planet earth that had the word of God. They had the Torah. The word literally comes from the word aura. It means the light. The entrance of your word gives light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The people of Israel carried the word of God, the law and the prophets, the words that, but they were penned by men, but inspired by God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The people of Israel were the only one. There were many religious writings all over the world, but they had a book that came from God. Moses didn't dream up a few good ideas. He came down the mountain with words from God. Yeah, wow. Israel had the word of God. Number two, Israel had the presence of God. They didn't just have a book about God. They had God in their midst. Now, if you will, the presence of God that Israel had had to be contained, had to be held in a box, in a temple, in the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies in a temple. And once a year, somebody, a high priest, could come in with incense and blood. And if he didn't obey the prescribed methodology for approaching the presence, he'd be bang, struck dead. Literally, the high priest would come in with bells on his garments and a rope around his foot in case the presence of God struck him dead. Remember when David tried to bring the presence, the ark, back to Jerusalem? And David did it, but he did it a la David. He did it in his own way with singing and dancing. And when the ark on the cart began to stumble and was in danger of tipping over, this young man reached out and tried to save God, touched the ark and was struck dead. And for the rest of the journey, David kind of went back to the book and sacrificed bulls, and there was this pathway of blood to bring the presence in.
Wow.
Israel were called to carry the word of God. Israel were called to carry the presence of God. But I want you to see this as well, and it relates to this finance minister in Israel. Israel were called to carry the testimony of God. And by that I mean they were called to show the world what happens when you live with God. What happens when you call on the name of the Lord? What happens when you make God your priority? What happens when you walk in God's ways, when you honor God? What does life look like? And then it's amazing, really, if you think of Israel just in Bible days, even in the midst of all of their sin, their fallings, their failings, their division, their idolatry, anytime any of them began to take God remotely seriously, the blessing of God would come. And of course, God wanted to bless them because God is a good God, and I believe in that. And yet God wanted Israel to be established as a testimony. That's really his whole point in Deuteronomy 28. You know, literally to this day, you can see the two hills, the two mountains that Moses led the people through the valley. And there were priests on one side shouting out the curses if you disobeyed God and the blessings if you did obey God. And it's amazing. But to this day, you see these two kind of pretty much identical hills. One of them is teeming of life. The other is dead and dry and arid, nothing upon it. It's like the curse of God is still stands in it. And in a way, God was saying, if you obey me and walk in my ways and, you know, my precepts, I'll set you on high above all the nations of the earth. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. You'll be blessed. Your marriages will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. You won't need to borrow money because you'll lend to many nations and not borrow. All the kingdoms of the earth will look at you and go, ooh, you guys walk with God. The Queen of Sheba will show up and say, tell me about your God, Solomon. And Israel, amongst all of its failings and sin and whatever, as we all do, Israel held forth that testimony. And even today, in the midst of, you know, a lot of secularism in Israel and people, you know, not always walking in the ways of God, there is still that blessing held in Israel. And God wanted Israel to be like a, forgive my Britishness, but like a tasting stick, a testimony of what it looks like to walk with God. Now, we as the church, we don't replace Israel. We've been grandfathered in. Yeah. If you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the church, both Jew and Gentile, we are called to carry the word of God to our generation. There's no greater blessing than to carry this. Years ago, I got to preach in the United Nations, and I had people coming up to me, like Muslims coming up, saying, could you give me a Bible? Did you bring any Bibles with you? And I'm like, this is New York City. You can get a Bible anywhere. And they're like, no, we, you know, the staff get driven in, like the secretaries from Saudi Arabia, and they want the word of God. We've been given the privilege of carrying the word. We as believers, Jew and Gentile, carry the glory of God within us. Sometimes people will ask me, you know, do you think there'll be a rebuilt Jewish temple? I actually don't, but I don't mind if there is. But God's not going to put his glory in a building. God's never going to put his glory in a building once again. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God's glory is in you. We have this glory in earthen vessels. But by the same token, do you know that finance minister in Israel is right? When we walk in the ways of God, our very lives should give testimony to the blessing of God. Now, to me, prosperity, the blessing of God, it doesn't mean you're going to be rich, rich, rich and be dripping with money, though it can mean that. I think it means every area of our life should carry forth the blessing of God. I want every part of my life, my marriage, my children, my health, the car I drive, the churches I lead, the life I live, to show the world what it's like to walk with God. Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye.